Well, National Treasury and the Financial Sector Conduct Authority have published for public comment a diagnostic study prepared by the World Bank aimed at ensuring fairer bank practices in South Africa. Doesn't everyone feel like their bank is a fair-weather bank and is always ripping them off? Well, the report is titled "The South Africa Retail Banking Diagnostic, Treating Customers Fairly in Relation to Transactional Accounts and Fixed Deposits." There is a lot of heat in the financial services space, specifically when it comes to credit extension. We've seen the passing of the National Credit Amendment Bill. There is a belief in some quarters that consumers are being exploited, while the bankers and other financial services companies, I'm sure, believe they are servicing demand. On the bank fee side, one cannot help feel that that bank charges are too high, but is that borne out by the evidence, taking into consideration the huge operational leverage that banks undertake to provide access to credit? Especially a bank is probably the most highly geared entity in the world. It's far more geared than an Aspen. They've got a thin sliver of capital and the rest is equity. So it's important to understand a bank's balance sheet. For example, if a bank has one non-performing loan, it has to do a deal 33 times bigger to recoup the original loss because of that leverage. And we also see commercial realities of going to digital channels, but the cost of products is one thing. Designing them to be clearly understandable and comparable is another thing entirely. So to discuss the report and the high-level findings in the brief time that we have, it's a great pleasure to welcome Catherine Gibson, Chief Director of Market Conduct at National Treasury. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much for having me. Can I just correct? I'm actually at the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. I'm
at at the FSCA, sorry. And yes. Kersha Singh is with Treasury. Kersha, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Catherine, kick us off here. The study represents the first steps in improving market conduct practices in the banking sector. And the big talking point is ensuring that customers are treated more fairly in the past. Can you just provide the background to the study and what you mean by being treated more fairly than in the past? What is fair?
Sure. So I think you had alluded to one of the factors, which would be fees. But I think sometimes we get overly caught up in the level of fees as opposed to recognizing that fees is just one component and that we really are looking at value. In terms of where this comes from, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority is newly established as of 1 April of this year. And this new regulator is for the first time taking a much more intensive look at the market conduct, at the behavior of banks and how they treat their customers. And in anticipation of this mandate, National Treasury and at the time the Financial Services Board, which has morphed into the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, in support of evidence-based policy, I think too often we leap to anecdotes, and it's important that we have a really strong basis for regulatory intervention if it's necessary. And that really formed the basis of this investigation. And we obtained the support of the World Bank and leading expertise in international experts in market conduct and financial institutions and banks in particular, to really assess some of the, if we can call them, allegations or the assertions that have been made against the banking sector over quite a long time now. I think it would have started with the banking inquiry, the competition inquiry.
The Jarley Commission?
Exactly, the Jarley Commission inquiry at that time, which had made certain recommendations. But we thought, given where we're at the moment, this new market conduct regulator, new powers, that it's important that we got a good base to start this conversation.
And that is all part of the Twin Peaks regulatory reform process. Kersha, when we look at it, the report did find that banks are pricing electronic transactions, things like withdrawals, bank deposits, at cheaper rates to discourage customers from transacting at branches and ATMs. And that's a well-known commercial strategy by the banks to cut down on their costs and to drive traffic to their digital channels. What's wrong with that?
So I think one of the things that the diagnostic highlighted is that approach, particularly in regards to the lower income market may not actually be the best response to the needs of the customers in that market. So while it may make sense from a commercial perspective, the actual usage patterns of customers, particularly in the lower income markets, where they may not have access to digital or electronic channels of transactions, could actually penalize them and put them at a disadvantage from transacting through their bank accounts.
I hear what you're saying, but banks are not social enterprises. They're not funded by taxpayers. They'll come back and say, "Well, we're commercial entities, and we're competing in an arena where we have to do what we feel is right according to our strategy." What would you like to see the banks do to respond to service a market that certainly wouldn't be able to provide them with the commercial incentive to go and roll out 1,000 brick and mortar ATMs and service points?
Yeah, so I mean, we do recognize that banks are commercial entities. They're not doing this as a social objective, although in some countries, including in the EU, they do have regulation providing access as a right to a basic bank account. And there is a regulation that's prevented branches from closing down completely. But I think it is a business. You do have to provide it in a commercially viable way. But some of the principles of fair customer treatment ask that these institutions look at the actual needs of customers when designing products. So it may not be sensible to design a product for a lower income user that looks very similar to a product offered to a middle income and higher income user and offers the same sort of incentives to move towards a digital system. It could be a different type of product that's offered to lower income customers that allows for a certain amount of physical transactions that doesn't come at a punitively higher cost than digital transactions. And I think that is where this concept of considering your customers and your product design process is one of the principles that the new Conduct Authority will be trying to drive.
And Catherine, when we look at it, fees, I think back to your earlier point about having an evidence-based discussion, I think anecdotally we all feel like our banks are overcharging us and the fees are too high. What did the report find?
So I think just to think this around what it is that we are wanting at bank, and this goes to your earlier question to Gersha as well, is that your bank account should be doing certain things, is that it needs to hold your money safely, it needs to facilitate payments, and you may want it to save. And so when you ask this question about fees, it's a question of to what extent is your account enabling those things for you, whether you are lower income, middle income, higher income, in a reasonable way. And what the report found is that particularly for lower income persons or people, that fees are disproportionately high. For the bundled products, primarily bundled products, which are the middle income side, here it's actually really difficult to tell whether costs are high or not, fees are high or not, relative to each other and in absolute terms, just because of the way in which those products are structured. Mm-hmm. And what the report recommends is that extending from some of the work, which is obviously now outdated, that the Commission Inquiry, Competition Commission Inquiry did those years back, that this is something that probably needs closer scrutiny. And I would encourage, I think all of us have the experience and can ask, do we actually know what we are paying and for what? Yeah. So, for example, even if you think you're paying 100 Rand for your account, what are you getting for that? And there are all these other additional expenses which often come in, which you don't even know about. And this is why the disclosure becomes particularly important as well.
And speaking of disclosure, I recall that Jali report had large sections redacted out. There was a huge outcry at the time about the levels of opacity that we continue to live with inside the banking sector at the moment. Another point that was raised inside the research is that the big four banks pay low or no rates of interest on their core transactional accounts, and they do have some with a savings focus, but there's really no incentive to get lower income consumers to use these to save and to try and incentivize that. It's clearly a commercial decision. There are a variety of factors at play here. We have seen a rise, though, in very low cost entry level accounts over the last few years, largely driven by competition. The entrance of Capitec has certainly spurred that. Why not just let the market play out and allow these new entrants, these low-cost players, the new digital players, to service a need? Because clearly there's a need to service the low-income consumer with something that is more accessible and suits their needs more than is currently the case.
Yeah, so if I can come in there. I think that's definitely going to be a focus area in terms of making sure, and I think this is something that's come up in parliamentary discussions on the Twin Peaks legislation and some of the other legislation, is trying to allow for the entrance of new players into the market to service some of the needs that the more established players may not be meeting. I think there's recently been talk of the entrance of two new digital banks into the market. I think, though, the point of this diagnostic and it's informing the work of the conduct authorities, even if there are these new entrants, one of the other findings of the diagnostic is there's a very big variance in the approaches of banks towards their customers. So it's quite important that even with new entrants into the market, there are some minimum standards of treatment that customers can come to expect from their banks, whether you're in the low-income markets or the higher-income markets too.
And the Ombud for Banking Services also told the World Bank that it did receive a lot of complaints from customers about penalty fees, especially those charged on debit orders and when those bounce. And there's currently no real legal restriction on the charging of penalty or unfair fees by banks in South Africa. So there are areas of real concern that can be addressed. Catherine, just to round things up, unfortunately, we didn't have all that much time tonight, but this is the publication of a report that's going to generate public comment. Where to from here? What are the timelines?
So the public is going to be invited or welcome to participate in stakeholder workshops, which we'll send around notification. The timelines, Kersha, what is the deadline for comments? Kersha? I think we've lost Kersha.
Kersha? Oh, shucks, we've lost her. Well, we'll tell you what, we'll tweet that out.
Sorry, it's on the 16th of October. So we invite you comments until the 16th of October, but there will be notifications around stakeholder workshops as well. I think it's also from a consumer customer perspective, besides engaging on the report, and it is particularly interesting, is really also to start just interrogating your bank, be empowered, start asking questions. And if you do have concerns, do reach out to the Bank Ombuds or the Financial Sector Conduct Authority.
Thank you very much. Catherine Gibson, Chief Director of Market Conduct at the FSCA, and Kersha Singh of National Treasury, giving us a quick snap insight into the retail banking diagnostic for South Africa report.